Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Craig is going to come preach to us from the end of this section in a couple of minutes. But let me read for us from Philippians 2, verses 25 to 30. But I think it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour. People like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me.
At some point during our home assignment this year, I can guarantee you that I will have the following exchange with at least one person. Someone's going to come up to me and they're just going to say, Craig, I think you're just brilliant. See, you and Amanda, I just think you're brilliant, right? Oh, that's very kind of you, thank you. No, you're just amazing, you know? I just think you're brilliant, right? This is obviously up in Glasgow, all right? And maybe try to dig a bit deeper into this. Well, thank you so much, you know, maybe just to help us, you know, is it what we're doing in ministry, is it... You know, what exactly is it? Oh, I don't know, you're out there living in Bosnia, you know, I just think you're amazing, right? It's quite an illuminating dialogue. If nothing else, I'm really reassured that I can do pretty much whatever I want with my life and I'll be very well supported so long as it's in a foreign country. It gives me all sorts of ideas, I have to say. But in essence, the core takeaway from this is that our singular achievement is living somewhere else that isn't Scotland and being okay with that. That puts us up there in some sort of super Christian pedestal. We are the ones who really get it. Now, in fairness, most people, I think, who interact with us, like yourselves, of course, you're quite aware of the work that we're involved in. But even then, how well do you really know us? How well do you really know other missionaries that you support? You know, especially when money's involved, we missionaries, we're quite liable to just kind of throw statistics at people in our reporting. How many got medical assistance in the last month? How many more projects are we involved in? How many people came to faith? How many water pumps were installed in the week beginning 3rd of March, etc., etc.? You're not always going to get maybe the bigger picture, and that's no slight on anyone. It's just the reality when there's just so much else fighting for our attention today, isn't there? And I think missionary updates necessarily have to be brief and to the point. But, you know, the truth is that we missionaries have to deal with all the same stuff that you do. We've got bills to pay, we've got houses to maintain, we've got a pile of dishes to wash that isn't getting any smaller, we've got kids to raise, we've got a morning commute to negotiate, we've got bins that need putting out. The challenges of ministry and cross-cultural living, they're just our vocational extras, really. That's it. But you know, the worst bit of all is, we're actually not superhuman. Disappointingly, regardless of what my dear brother up in Glasgow might say, our bodies are not entirely cooperative. Our minds are continually under attack. Our hearts are frequently broken. Just like you, we bear all the hallmarks of fallen men and women in a world that is groaning under the curse. So basically, we are as well equipped to grapple with life's challenges as you are, essentially. And I haven't yet mentioned, you know, the lack of family members nearby or the particular challenges of ministry and cross-cultural living. Now, we love what we do. We love it very much. But this much is clear. We are not heroes. We're not super Christians. And we're definitely not brilliant, okay? Actually, we need all the help that we can get just to keep going. So who's looking out for the labourers? Who's going to minister to the ministers, so to speak? And just how important is that task? Well, that's where our passage this morning comes in. Paul is in prison when he writes the letter to the Philippians. Most likely, he's in Rome. And it's clear from the content of the letter that the Philippians are really close to Paul's heart. They were the first church that he established in Europe, and they were a church who really got missions. They've been generous supporters of Paul throughout his ministry. And this chap, Epaphroditus, is just one example of this. He's actually a relatively obscure figure among the very big supporting cast in Paul's letters. And I use that word supporting in every sense of the word. Paul was all about team ministry, wasn't he? Epaphroditus actually only pops up really here in Philippians, just for a few verses. But Epaphroditus plays a big part in the very existence of the letter to the Philippians. It's Epaphroditus who brings to Paul another gift from the Philippians, and this likely prompts Paul to then write this letter, and it's Epaphroditus who in all likelihood goes back to Philippi with the letter to the Philippians. It is a knapsack. Amazing, eh? And reading between the lines, it looks like the Philippians had hoped that Epaphroditus might be able to stay with Paul for an extended period and maybe even work alongside Paul for a wee while. And that didn't work out, as we see in our passage today. Nonetheless, Epaphroditus gives us a useful insight into the nature of supporting overseas workers. Firstly, this is a vital task. Now, we read in verse 25 that Epaphroditus is the Philippians' messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs, says Paul. In doing this, he is my brother. Epaphroditus is, of course, a believer himself. But more than that, Paul describes him as my co-worker in this seemingly simple task of bringing him a gift. He is bearing his share of the gospel burden. And he also describes him as a fellow soldier. In his efforts, just like the apostles, he naturally comes up against resistance, but he forges ahead for the sake of Christ with all the physical and mental pain that that's going to entail. Now, these are terms that Paul usually reserves in his letters for the likes of Titus and Timothy, big figures. So to speak of Epaphroditus in this way shows just how valued and important Epaphroditus' role is, even in just this simple act of bringing support. As far as Paul is concerned, the one who cares for the gospel worker is just as vital a cog in the machine as the gospel worker themselves. Now, the exciting thing today is that missions are increasingly coming round to this truth. From our experience anyway, this is an area of missions that is now called member care. And more missions, including our own Latin Link, they now have full-time member care workers. And all too often, missionaries leave the field within a few years of arrival with their reserves of energy and compassion slowly draining away until there's nothing left. We found ourselves at just such a crossroads only a few years ago. But missions now see that with just a little bit of investment in this area, this need no longer be the case. Overseas workers can be equipped to handle the challenges of cross-cultural ministry with the right on-field support. Now, Amanda particularly is at the coalface of this as a short-term coordinator. She's coming alongside those who are starting out, meeting with them regularly, ensuring that they get the right support structures in place on the ground from day one. And without that input, the transition to long-term status as a missionary, of course, is going to be much harder. Now, it's fair to say that Amanda and I have experienced something of a humbling in this area, especially with regard to church ministry. Over a decade ago, we were passing through the city of Santa Cruz. I think we were on our way to the airport or something. And we thought we'd pay the English language church there a visit just to check it out. And by this point, we'd been almost 2 years up in Trinidad, which, as you know, is a much more isolated part of Bolivia. Next to no one speaks English. And I remember we went to the service that morning. It's full of missionaries and all these expats, all talking in English, all singing in English. And ourselves so young and cocksure. I remember leaving that meeting, that service, thinking, man, these people are cheating, right? This isn't real church. Come on. Well, 10 years later, I'm the pastor, all right? God had to bring us through our own season of burnout to help us see that, yes, missionaries need ministering too as well. And if they seek that in their native language, then who are we to question that? After all, many of these people are at it 6 days a week, continually giving of themselves to others. Where are they going to get spiritual input? Where are they going to find rest? Where are they going to get that fellowship among people who appreciate them, not really so much for what they do, but for who they are? Well, international churches minister to cross-cultural people worldwide in this way, to overseas business people, to natives who speak the English language, and yes, naturally, to God's servants. Such churches, along with other organisations who place this big emphasis on member care, they are truly doing God's work. This is a vital task. But remember that Paul also called Epaphroditus a fellow soldier. You know, this work isn't just sitting on the sidelines. It's a brutal work. This ministry is also a challenging task. And in verses 26 to 28, which we just read, Paul detailed the ordeal that Epaphroditus had gone through. Word had got back to the Philippians that Epaphroditus was ill. And Paul affirms this. In fact, he says he almost died, but he was spared by God who had mercy on him. And this brought no small relief to Paul. Yet Epaphroditus' anguish lingered long after his illness because he was concerned that the Philippians didn't realise he'd recovered. Of course, there wasn't any WhatsApp in those days. And this is a big reason why Paul is going to send him back to them from Rome, most likely with this letter. Now, Epaphroditus clearly faced his own unique struggles. We can't make a generalisation from this. But we do have a reminder here that for those who minister to missionaries, occupational hazards may well come with the territory. I told you about one recent humbling. Here's another. When Amanda and I, with Sam, when we arrived back in Santa Cruz back in 2019, we got there. We looked around us and we just could not believe our luck. We'd gone from markets, you'd have to do about 13 stops on a Saturday morning just through the weekly shop. We'd gone from markets to supermarkets. We'd gone from queues to QR codes. We'd gone from street sewers to, yes, Starbucks, as Amanda said. From mosquitoes to multiplexes. Finally, we'd arrived. We'd so many more resources here just to keep going. Things were going to be easy. Things were going to be stress-free from now on. We could really put our feet up. Well, within 9 months, Bolivia was on the brink of civil war. Its most precarious moment in decades, with our city of Santa Cruz really at the vanguard of the resistance in a month-long protest over a fraudulent election. And this brought the city, this brought the country to a crunching halt. So we came out of that at the end of 2019, and we happily ignored stories we were seeing in the news of a so-called coronavirus emerging from China. Things couldn't possibly get worse, we thought, could they? Well, 6 months straight of online services after that told their own story. And on a personal level, COVID brought its challenges in schooling and, in our case, a brief re-emergence of Amanda's burnout symptoms. But then on a ministry level, as we all know, COVID-19 was really a great revealer, wasn't it? Any tensions or struggles that people had for years just tried to sweep under the carpet, well, they were quickly blown out into the open, weren't they? Especially as families were, in some cases, learning to live together, to relate to one another for the first time, in some cases, in years. And you know, missionaries weren't immune to this. Amanda and I both had to walk with individuals and with couples through some very hard stuff over the last couple of years. We even have a church member who's been the victim of an appalling miscarriage of justice. This is a saga which has run for years. It even included a stretch in prison a few years ago. And she is in the sights of her accuser and of the government, sad to say, specifically because she's a foreigner and because she's refused to take the easy way out. And this is the way for anyone in ministry. You can't walk with people and not somehow take on some of that burden. I'm sure that Matt and Matthew can relate to that, and you can yourselves as you go about the ministry of the saints among one another. I think we all understand that. The headline from Paul's experience and from ours is that it's going to happen when you minister to overseas workers as well, to those who supposedly have got all their spiritual ducks in a row. Though, when you think again about the nature of their work, maybe these trials aren't that surprising after all. I heard someone say recently that if it's true that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, as the old saying goes, then it's equally true that Satan hates you and has a terrible plan for your life. He knows his time is running out, but like a rat in a jar, he fights with all the more ferocity. He knows his time is running out, but he'll stop at nothing to frustrate the kingdom's advances while he still can. And so inevitably, what confronts both missionaries and those who support missionaries is a challenging task. But it is ultimately, and finally, this morning, you'll be glad to hear, an honourable task. In the closing verses of our passage, we can see that Paul is keen to avoid any potential for misunderstanding. He doesn't want his friends back in Philippi to think of Epaphroditus as somehow weak or a failure. He doesn't want Epaphroditus' efforts and his earlier than expected return to them to be considered some kind of letdown. He wants to ensure that they welcome Epaphroditus with open arms, with great joy, and with the warmest welcome possible, because it's a welcome in the Lord. And moreover, he challenges the Philippians to honour people like him. Honour him for the great risks he took to be their ambassador to Paul. Honour him for the great trial he has undergone. And honour him, yes, for the help you yourselves could not give me, he writes at the end of verse 30. That's not a dig from Paul. It's just a statement of practical fact. Most in the church at Philippi are unable to simply up sticks and travel long distances to encourage missionaries. They've got jobs. They've got kids. Their lives are there in Philippi, just as your own lives are here in Stockton or wherever you've come from this morning. And yet you are all yourselves key players in world missions, in your prayers for your missionary partners and in your giving. And dare I say it, you have your own Epaphroditus's in your midst here too, those who ensure that missionaries are well supported and prayed for, ensuring their needs are well known to the congregation. We love getting an email every few months from Chris just asking us how we're getting on, what our prayer needs are, so the church can better pray for us. We so appreciate that. This is an honourable task, because as sure as faith without works is dead, well, the church without missions is dead, isn't it? Now, we can't all serve on the front line of missions. The demands of professional life and family life, they won't allow for that. But we can come alongside the support staff. We can engage with the updates that they share. We can attend events they might organise for information and prayer. Maybe take them out for a coffee not to Starbucks maybe in this case, but take them out for a coffee to find out more about how your mission partners are doing, what they're up to. Choose to pray specifically for one of your mission partners each month. Maybe even come together, I don't know, raise some extra funds so that they can themselves go out and visit your mission partners, just like Epaphroditus did, to encourage them, to maybe get a more rounded picture of the work they're involved in. What about joining in the work yourself? Maybe God is pushing you that way even now, to be part of the missions committee or whatever it is you have established here. Honour people like these, brothers and sisters, co-workers, fellow soldiers. And as you support the supporters, and as you support the missionaries themselves, be reassured that you stand in an honourable tradition, one that stretches back over two millennia. It is for this reason that in our reflections on Hardwick Baptist Church, Amanda and I echo the words of Paul at the beginning of this letter. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. May your partnerships yield gospel fruit. May you know Christ's sanctifying work in his church as you go about this work. And may he alone get glory.